What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of From Pen to Paper to Podcast. What's up, D Crazy?
What's going on, Billy Band? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. How do you feel about our last episode last week? I know we had an author on with us, AJ Green, man. I think he did a pretty solid job.
Yeah, man. I got some good feedback from some friends of mine, and they couldn't believe AJ was writing children's books either, man. So he got some good exposure, and he gave us some good exposure. So hopefully we get some reviews on this next episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Speaking of this episode, we're going to jump right on into it here. We have another author with us today. From Pen to Paper to Podcast welcomes true crime author Gizela K. Gizela, thank you so much for agreeing to do this episode with us. How are you and where are you?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me here. I am in the Netherlands, in the center of it, in Utrecht. I'm from South Africa, so that's what the accent is all about.
Okay.
I live here now. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more awesome being here right now, but yeah, the accent is South African. Everyone always asks me.
So you haven't picked up the Netherlands accent yet?
How long have you been in the Netherlands?
I've been here now for 2 years. So I immigrated in the end of 2019.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Got here and, you know, lockdown. Let's go. But it's very, very beautiful here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice place to write.
Oh, I bet. Probably get a lot of inspiration from your surroundings and everything, too.
Yeah, definitely. And I've chosen to live in kind of like a retirement village. It's a tiny little village just outside of Utrecht. So it's super quiet and just like old people on their strollers walking outside. It's really great to write. I've got the forest literally on my doorstep, which is so nice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect inspiration. That's
exactly.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we're gonna go ahead and jump right into it here. How long have you been writing?
Writing true crime has only been for a year now, but before that, I've always been a writer. I actually was an airline pilot for 9 years, and even then I was a travel writer. That was my passion.
Okay.
The pilot thing was sort of by default. It was kind of a scholarship situation. You know, I tried it out. Not that technical of a person, but I was okay at it. But writing was my thing. I just loved travel writing, writing the articles, running the magazine. So I really realized that is totally my dream. Literally quit my job in 2013 and just write full time. That's all I've been doing. It's just writing. So I've written a whole bunch of books in different genres, but true crime is my favorite. So that's what I'm sticking to now.
Okay.
That's pretty awesome, man. That's what we're hoping. One day we can retire from our 9-to-5s and just
write
full time.
Absolutely.
Hope that for you as well. Yeah.
So I have to ask you a question. Out of all the genres you could have possibly wrote about, what made you start writing true crime lately?
True crime. So I think it's where my expertise really lies, because I'm like a risk manager type. Like to analyze risk, know what's happening all around me. That obviously comes with a pilot background. But before that, my dad was actually a police officer. I only saw him as a kid between the age of 5 and 11 and didn't see him after that. But it had a huge impact on my mind. So it was always there just in the background of like, that's what I want to do. So if I can't be a police officer or FBI agent, I want to be a true crime author.
At least right now, can't be one, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So yeah, really love that genre. Keeps me interested.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
So why serial killers, though?
Why serial killers? I mean, aren't they just the worst of the worst? They are so terrible. But what I really like writing about is, of course, the victims of these serial killers. Serial killers are so sensationalized, especially in America, right? And they're so commercialized that oftentimes the victims are just like a list of names attached to the serial killer. So it's almost like they belong to them. And I like to try to undo that, because I always think I would never want to be a victim and just be rattled off as like a name on a list with Jeffrey Dahmer or Ted Bundy or whatever. So I try to do the victim some justice. That's pretty much why, you know, the biggest cases, but like, let's angle it differently and look at the victims and their stories.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, I listened to your podcast and I've watched a little bit of your new YouTube. And
yeah.
I think your last episode of each story focuses solely on the victims. I love that you do that.
Yeah, I draw on them as well. I try to have each victim has their own illustration, and I try to find as much information as possible. At some point, I was even thinking of just writing books about the victims. But I mean, I think everyone wants the complete story. But then my focus is on the psychology of the serial killer and their background, and then the victims, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So through all of your research, and I'm sure it takes a ton of research to really sit down and write these books, have you found any information on these people or any of the cases that may be considered new information to most people out there?
You mean from the books that I've written so far, like anything new or interesting that people might not know?
Just things that you typically don't see in documentaries or hear on other podcasts.
Yeah, I honestly believe that my books truly contain information that people don't ordinarily know, because I really do a deep dive. I really dig deep to find things that might not have been so common, and also do some myth busting. For example, Eileen Wuornos's last meal was not black coffee. That is so commonly spread, and it wasn't. She had a full meal. She was fine. Her friend brought in food from, you know, from outside, and she had a calzone, she had potato chips, she had a soda, and then a black coffee. So it's just silly things like that, little details, of course, gruesome details too.
Right.
You know, all sorts of stuff. But definitely, there would be new information in all my books, especially in the John Wayne Gacy one, in the speculation chapter.
Okay.
A lot of information there, yeah.
That's pretty cool. I got a question for you. Throughout all your research that you do about all these horrible people, do any of them give you any sleepless nights?
Absolutely. It's a very, very bad thing for mental health. I say it right there. I'm in therapy 3 times a week, not just for what I do. It's just in general. But it really does have an impact on your mind. You have to be careful with it, which is why I do walks in the forest. I do cycling. I do self-care and all that stuff. I have a whole other YouTube channel for that and another page on Instagram, because it's so important, especially for me. This is some dark stuff. You go into what I call an abyss. You go into the abyss, and it's a very dark place mentally. And I often have nightmares. I often get triggered, and it's difficult. I would not cope without just a little bit of whiskey here and there. Yeah, take the edge off.
That's also my go-to. So.
Yeah.
I'm just a beer drinker, so I may graduate to the whiskey at some point in my life. I don't know yet.
Yeah. Jump in the club, Billy. Join the club.
Okay, Gisela, this next question, it might be a weird one, and I hope I'm asking it right, but I'll ask it anyway. Who is your favorite serial killer? I know that's an odd question.
Yeah, but in true crime, people understand what that means. I must say, disclaimer though, it's not the hybristophilia way and fangirling over them, but my favorite one that I was most fascinated with was always Jeffrey Dahmer. Because he's like so soft-spoken and kind of comes across empathic. He even had empathy on a dog as a kid. He had a pet. He wanted to even kill a dog before and had empathy on him. So I'm like, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then just what he did and how he did it and how he believes it was like love, like a love thing that he did. That's so weird to me. And then he was the most gruesome cannibal of all time. Like, okay, not of all time. There's some bad ones out there. But still, I think he would be my so-called favorite one, which is why I wrote about him first.
Okay. It makes perfect sense then.
All right, so I got another question. Which story was the most interesting to research and write?
I would say so far of the 4 books I've written, it was the John Wayne Gacy one, The Killer Clown, because oh my word, not only what he did, but I like literally made, have you seen the movie A Beautiful Mind when the dude does all the stuff on the wall?
Yeah.
I was doing that, drawing all these maps and mind maps and connecting things, and I made such a giant connection in my speculation chapter that now he's featured in that new documentary. Not from me, they figured it out too, but I'm like, oh. But so did I. So that was so fascinating to figure out how he was linked to entire ring, if you know what I mean by ring. I don't want to say trigger words on your podcast. A ring.
Yeah, you're fine.
An organized ring of people and other serial killers. And that was fascinating to me, just to realize that this goes so much deeper. And there might be more victims that he had that he buried elsewhere that just people do not dig up those properties. That was amazing. Yeah.
I'm getting PTSD just listening to
you. Yeah. Gotta get that whiskey going. Yeah.
It's 2 o'clock here, Devin. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's almost 8 o'clock in the Netherlands, man. Yep. Go ahead and pop one back. You're good.
Yep.
And you kind of touched on this next question a little bit with that answer, but from beginning to end, with the research and writing to be published ready, how long does it take you to complete one book?
So I like to research on Google. What's the average time? And it's like 1 year, right? But like, so for me, it's going to sound really fast, but I wrote 4 books in 1 year because I was just that driven.
Oh, wow.
Honestly, I was just like, I'm a very immersive, radical, let's go for it 100% in kind of person. So I like literally went for it to build a solid foundation. Now I'm going to do it a bit slower, so probably 2 books per year. So it took me 3 months per book. So it's 6 weeks of research, 6 weeks of writing, and then we go.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Mean, definite dedication.
Yeah.
So how many hours a day do you write? Or do you...
Honestly, the research is like 5 to 1. So it's like 5 hours of research per 1 hour of writing, I would say. So it's more like all day research just to get 2 or 3 hours of writing out. My books are around between 40 and 55,000 words. So they're not massive, but they're fairly, they're all right. They're medium-sized books. Man, and that research is just, that's what the time is. So all day I freaking research, and then at night I write for like 2 to 3 hours, 7 days a week, nonstop.
Wow. Yeah, definite full-time job.
Yeah.
So do your followers from your old books transition over into your true crime, or do you have like a whole brand new fan base?
Whole brand new. The previous ones were all written under pen names. So I have a whole bunch of genres and things that I wrote in just to experiment with the whole self-publishing industry. And now when I was ready to be like, this is going to be my, I don't know if it sounds corny, legacy.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm putting my name on it this time. So these are the first four books that have my actual name on it.
Awesome.
Okay. Who does the cover art for your books? Is that your design?
My husband actually does it. He taught himself using GIMP, which is free software just like Photoshop. So it's kind of the rival, although, you know what I mean by rival, it's sort of, but it's a free version. Taught himself, and he's actually a software developer, so a coder. It's very opposite to what he does, but he has that like visual aspect, the graphic design stuff.
Yeah.
So he makes all the covers for me.
Okay.
And the website.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Pretty awesome. We're still shopping around for our at-home graphic designer.
So. Well, have you tried Canva? It's so great. Canva is like lifesaver, honestly. Afterwards, I'll tell you guys more about it.
Okay.
It's so amazing. If you don't have that, you could design ebook covers on there, podcast covers, range. It's so good.
Okay. Outstanding.
That's pretty awesome. You got any other questions for Billy Bay?
Well, I know we talked a little bit on Instagram. You have told me about a new book that I think you started yesterday, or at least started trying to write it yesterday. So is that your new project, I guess? What are you working on right now?
I'm currently working on my 5th book in the series, which now will be about the Yorkshire Ripper, Peter Sutcliffe. I thought, let me move on to make sure that the fans of my books know I'm covering the world. Otherwise, they think I'm just covering just American serial killers, you know,
yeah,
all the commercial ones. But I want to write about so many that, yeah, I'm doing the Yorkshire Ripper next.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever sent you any requests that they would like you to write about?
People do actually send me requests. They want Fred and, what's his name? Fred and Rose West, that couple, like couple killers. You know, Dennis Nilsson, some of the South African ones. There's some very prolific South African serial killers, and obviously I'm from there, so they're like, write about that, which I will one day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe you were going to write about...
a twisted version of Idi Amin, because, you know, he was out there eating people and...
Yeah, so. Yeah. Maybe one day I'll write about that too. Yeah.
I believe at one time you were talking about, I think his name is Ed Kemper. Was that one that you were...
Yeah, I was going to do... Yes. You're right. I was going to do him as my 5th book, but then he's still alive, and I just don't like the expectation that people have for me to contact them, because I don't want to contact them.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's really going dark psychologically. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. I would definitely
try
to avoid that.
People are pushing me. Why? Why don't you write him letters? Contact him. Like, I don't want to. I learned from Jason Moss, if you guys don't know who he is. Little college kid, wrote to serial killers, and then later took his own life because it affected him so much.
Wow.
No way. No way. I'm not contacting any of them. So I'll write about dead serial killers.
Yeah, we'll wait for him to die first.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's enough of them out there. We can wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Devin, man, this is our new segment that you just brought up last week with AJ, man. I'll let you run with that one.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. So, yeah, we're starting a new segment called Suggest 3 Books. So, do you have any suggestions for the crowd? Just 3 books. What are your favorites or something you would recommend to read?
For true crime books or any books?
Any books.
Interesting. I write so much, I don't read so much, but I do have some recommendations. If I could just look, I don't want to botch the titles. Just hold on 1 second because I'm busy reading this one called Everybody Says by Joe Navarro. He's a former FBI agent. Very good for like body language stuff if anyone's into that. Really like the book The Lovely Bones. There's a really great movie also based on that book.
I just saw the movie and that was crazy.
Yeah, that's got that vibe.
Oh man, that's right up your alley for real now.
Yep. So that was good. Obviously the Jason Moss one, it's called The Last Victim. I would just recommend if anyone wants to understand why me as a true crime author refuses to contact serial killers. That's why it's not cool or funny. They're not cute. They're very depraved.
Yeah.
And let me look at one other suggestion. One other one I like is called Whoever Fights Monsters by Robert Ressler. Also FBI special agent. Yeah.
Okay. Those sound like some good reads. I'll definitely check.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. All right, Gisela, so how can our listeners find you and your book?
Right now, the best way to find me would be on YouTube. Obviously, most people go on YouTube, so I've got two channels. One is Grizzly Books True Crime. That's obviously true crime. I go live 4 times a week, so that's the best place to interact with me. The other one is called The Gisela K Show, and that's more like, you know, the stuff I talked about earlier, mental health, self-care, cycling, Netherlands, that kind of stuff. So Grizzly Books True Crime, and if they want to get hold of my books, my merch, my art, I'm a watercolor artist and I do true crime sort of art, that would be all on grizzly-books.com.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Well, you guys stay tuned and check her out. She says she has another book on the way, but she already has, you say you have 4?
Yeah, I've got 4 now, yeah.
Okay, so we'll definitely check them out. We'll definitely recommend them to our audience. So
awesome. Thank you so much. And I will recommend this podcast to mine.
Awesome. Perfect.
Well,
thank you.
We appreciate you coming on our show.
Yeah, and thank you for having me.
Most definitely. All right, you guys, until next time, keep reading, keep writing, and keep podcasting.